Get in rhythm.
There you go. There you go.
And we're back, and much as we promised a couple days ago, it's the pictures and the picks, and it's the picks section of the 2020 100% Accurate Oscars Preview and Prediction Show here from Mike, Mike, and Oscar. Your ears don't deceive you. It is, in fact, March 2nd, 2019. There have, in fact, been no Oscar movies out yet for 2019-2020, and we are, in fact, losing our minds. But if you did join us for the show, last show, this is a two-part preview for the 2019 film year where we set the table and we'll make predictions for what will happen in the biggest Oscar categories next year at next year's Academy Awards. I am your co-host, Mike One. This is co-host also Mike.
Also, Mike, we got a lot of big names involved today. We'll kind of give you a refresher on what we talked about last episode, but like Mike said, two-parter, and it's 100% accurate, as we've proven
yes.
in the past.
Yes, and we will go over that at the ultimate... If it's penultimate, shouldn't ultimate mean ending then?
And pen should mean before. Why does it mean writing utensils?
Fair point. So at the finale, let's say, of this episode, we will go over our picks from the 2018 version of the show where we predicted for this year's Oscars. And you'll see just how right we were. And we, again, we batted 1,000.
Put your money where we tell you to put your money.
Even though we didn't even pick Best Picture last year, but that's neither here nor there. Mike, you're going to start talking about some movies we didn't hit on last episode, which is tough to believe because I think we went through 70 titles.
Yeah, last week I kind of did the award circuit survey where Clayton Davis put out his article. I did a USA Today article on a way too early Oscars. This time I looked at Variety and a few more sources. So a couple movies that were not mentioned last week that we've actually mentioned before, go figure. Jojo Rabbit, this is directed by Thor Ragnarok's Taika Waititi, What We Do in the Shadows. The premise reads, a young boy in Hitler's army finds out his mother is hiding a Jewish boy in their home. Michael, this is starring Thomasin McKenzie.
Yes.
Leave No Trace. Sam Rockwell from the last two Academy Awards, Best Supporting Acting
Will
category.
Will he be bald?
Rebel Wilson.
Will she be bald?
Oh, God. Scarlett Johansson, Game of Thrones' Alfie Allen, and, of course, from Fighting With My Family, director, actor, Stephen Merchant. Mike, this does not sound like a dramatic cast. Dramatic acting cast. These are mostly comedians.
Yeah, you go on IMDb, comedy, drama, war, which is, you know, that old combination of genres fuddling together.
Fail safe, never missed before. No, I mean, Taika Waititi's funny. I mean,
he's playing Hitler.
Yeah,
he's the one listed as playing Adolf Hitler.
And, very scary. I wonder if it's an Armando Iannucci kind of
it
thing.
It sounds like that. And also Stephen Merchant, Rebel Wilson. I'm excited to see Thomasin McKenzie flex her comedic wings. That'll be fun to see.
They're up against it, though. This is not going to be easy
no,
to make
no,
light
high
of
concept.
That
yeah.
scenario.
Speaking of things that's hard to make light of.
Yeah, and won't be, I'm sure. Fair and Balanced. This is the Roger Ailes biopic. Premise reads, a few women decide to take on Fox News boss Roger Ailes and the toxic male culture he presided over at the network. We have Margot Robbie, Charlize Theron, Connie Britton, Alice Eve, Allison Janney, Kate McKinnon, Ashley Green, and Nicole Kidman all go up against John Lithgow.
So that casting is perfect for Roger Ailes. John Lithgow playing that right. old, creepy, dirty man. If you know anything about Roger Ailes, he wasn't such a nice guy. I wonder how this is going to be received by such a prestigious administration such as the Academy, because there has to be a lot of people with money tied to Fox and, by proxy, Fox News at some
Could
point
be.
In
Could
the
be.
Academy.
Yeah, some inside baseball there. Directed by Jay Roach. He's done all of the HBO political movies, pretty much, like Recount and et cetera, et cetera.
I liked Recount.
Yeah.
That was a decent TV movie.
But if you look at his, you know, filmography, it's like a lot of HBO stuff. And before that, he did Austin Powers. Strangely enough.
It's got that ominous 2019 release date on IMDb right now, so we'll see if it actually makes it out to on the screens this year. I hope so. I'm interested to see this one for sure.
That's a loaded cast, and it's supposedly in post-production. So
it's one of those things where, like, the timing of where we are as a society may perfectly match up with this the subject matter of this film. And as we always said, as Scott Feinberg said, who only reinforced my idea and made my ego that much more unrestrained, that movies should be seen against the backdrop of the years they are coming out in, what the societal implications
exactly
of it are.
Exactly how he put it.
It's pretty much what he said, word for word. It's a quote, I think. But it's going to be very interesting. I think that timing might be perfect for that movie and someone from that movie to go on to get an Oscar win for it.
Right. Lucy and Desi, I'm not even going to comment on what Mike said, because it's just ego stroking right now. But anyway, Lucy and Desi, this is Aaron Sorkin's script.
This is awesome.
About Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. So we love Aaron Sorkin.
It's Sorkin. Cate Blanchett is signed to play Lucy Arnaz there.
And that's all that's listed right now. You Lucille highly Ball. Doubt it's
I don't,
in 2019 movie.
I don't think this is going to be a 2019 movie. It's in pre-production right now, or it's filming right now, if you go by IMDb. So that means they're going to have to wrap it all up and get it out for the Oscars push, because it's no doubt going to be an Oscar vehicle. I mean, Sorkin, Cate Blanchett as Lucille Ball. I would think that'd be the point of it. It's going to be tough to get it in under the wire. We'll see. I could be wrong. I just doubt it.
We'll have to keep tabs on it. It may come up again later in the episode. A couple of quick ones now. Viola Davis is supposed to have another Best Actress vehicle in I Almost Forgot About You. I don't know anything else about that.
Nobody does. It's in development right now, which means it's not even at the filming stage, okay, so probably not a 2019 movie itself.
We have Fonzo. That's the Tom Hardy as Al Capone movie that we've long heard about and saw a picture of him, and now we got to wait for a trailer and a release date.
Yeah, and it's going to be about his him reflecting on his life as it's well documented, Al Capone succumb to syphilis and the mental deterioration that disease causes if it's left untreated. And so it's going to be about that stage of Al Capone's life, apparently. Again, don't know if it's a 2019. I would love to see it. I'm also curious to see Josh Trank. It's going to be his first feature film since that falling out with 20th Century Fox he had over the Fantastic Four reboot. So that'll be nice to see him get back in our lives as a filmmaker.
I hope he can get back on track, because that was a rough go of things.
That's a way
but
to
Tom
it.
Hardy, man, I mean, Taboo. You know, he played like 17 different characters in that. And then Fonzo happened immediately after Taboo, based on IMDb here. He's also got A Christmas Carol, Venom 2, Mad Max, The Wasteland, all kinds of crazy things.
If that comes out in 2019, we could have like the greatest single best actor race of all time this year. We'll get into it.
Fonzo, you think? Well, Trank's got to reestablish himself.
Yes, he does.
He's got a way to go. But Paul Verhoeven from RoboCop and Total Recall, et cetera, et cetera. Of course, he has a new film about a nun with disturbing and erotic visions called Benedetta. And basically, this is a foreign film. And Clayton Davis mentioned it amongst his potential foreign films.
Yeah, it's porn. I mean, this is porn. This is pornography. I've seen this exact movie, this exact premise on Skinamax when I was like 11 and 12 growing up on basic cable.
Verhoeven likes a nude
right.
in his movies.
Yeah, he
likes
sure does.
Nude. So, yes,
no more beating around the bush there. True. Pun intended.
We have a few more animated feature possibilities, including Ugly Dolls Playmobil, which apparently is like a kid's brand right now.
I
that's
think it's
big.
Playmobil.
Playmobil.
Yeah, I don't think there's an E, but nonetheless.
All right. I don't want to guess because I don't know what the kids are up to these days, especially the little kids. And Sonic the Hedgehog, because
I think it's Hedgehog. No.
Hedgehog. Soft Jeez, J. Silent. Yeah. But bottom line is, I needed to come up with a third animated feature, which we're going to talk about in a second. I couldn't find one, so I'm going to mention those three up top, which Clayton Davis and company mentioned.
Give
in
yourself
their
a
articles.
Depth of knowledge there. That's smart. I wonder, is like The Lion King going to be qualifying as an animated picture?
Isn't that thoroughly animated?
Right. That's my take as well.
Why isn't that an animated feature?
So I don't know. And if that's qualifies, and I mean, that's clearly going to win, right? So
absolutely. Of course. We mentioned it in an oblique way last week, but we didn't really talk about it in its own profile. Todd Phillips has got a Joker movie coming out.
Sure does.
And Joaquin Phoenix, it looks terrifying in that paint, in that suit.
Yeah.
And why not Joaquin Phoenix as a best actor next year?
It's going to be a high bar to cross, especially considering we already have an Oscar award winning Joker performance once in the history, and we're only barely 10 years removed from that, with Heath Ledger obviously portraying the baddie in The Dark Knight.
Now, if Joker was 100 pounds heavier and Joaquin Phoenix either gained the weight or was in a fat suit, would it be unstoppable?
If he goes ugly, to just 100% ugly, maybe. The Academy does love when the prettiest actor go a little prosthetic or unique looking.
Okay, Mike, so what are we going to do here? We got seven categories. We got top threes.
Yeah, let's talk about this. We're going to do our top threes, maybe in order, maybe not. We're going to see how this goes. But we're going to take the seven categories. That'll be the four acting categories, director, picture, and animated feature. And we're going to basically just project our top three guesses of what we think some of the nominees for next year will be. And it's not so much what we think, it's what's going to happen. Because these are 100% accurate, like we said. 100%, you can put your money on this now. I don't know where you'll find these odds available in Vegas, but snatch them up. Make them yourself.
The angel on either of the shoulders is dead now. They're two devils. So best animated feature is where we're going to start. We had a lot of fun adding this category to our year this past Oscar season, which was never ending and lasted for 14 months. But bottom line is we covered a lot of animated movies this last year, and we had a blast, and you had a blast because all our numbers were up for those categories. So I'll start off. I'll pick one of these. Mike will pick another because I think there are two definites.
Yeah.
Frozen 2 is going to be nominated for Best Animated Feature.
I'm most curious about what the song is going to be because they got a lot to live up to in a lot of ways compared to the first Frozen based on content.
Hold on tight.
Yeah.
Hold on tight. Never let it go.
Idina Menzel has just been like in a chamber writing since the first Frozen movie. And the obviously the other big animated one, another Disney property, Toy Story 4, which likely will find itself, if the past entries are any indication, may find itself in the Best Picture category as well.
Look, Tom Hanks could totally phone it in this year, and he will be at the Academy Awards at least multiple films
that's
being nominated.
That's a good point, yes.
Now, I don't know what to really pick for this other one. If Lion King is eligible, I'm going to hedge my bets and say Lion King should get nominated at the end of the day. Right now, I'm going to say Ugly Dolls. I'm sure it'll be like an emoji movie 0%er at the end of all this, but I'm going to pick Ugly Dolls. I like the trailer a little bit.
Yeah, trailer's cute. It's got a lot of, seems like it's got a lot of good music in it, original songs. Maybe on the lookout for best original song there. Kelly Clarkson, I know, has one. I'll throw Detective Pikachu into the mix too. If that's considered animated, there's a lot of animations about that. It's a big deal. But if it's not, I'm going to go boring. How to Train Your Dragon, the third one, whatever it's called, the one that's out now is probably going to get nominated. I can't imagine this category doesn't. I'm sorry for all the conspiracy talk, but I can't imagine Disney doesn't win this category this year.
Yeah, I probably regret not saying How to Train Your Dragon. How could these two opposing viewpoints be 100% accurate? We only pick threes. That's why we only pick threes. So, of course, those are your four right there.
Yes.
Best Supporting Actress, Mike. I wonder if we're going to have another wackadoo year in terms of the precursors giving us one winner, then another winner, then not nominating a third winner. Who the hell knows? I'm going to go somewhat safe with Margot Robbie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, because just the stills look exactly like Sharon Tate.
She really does.
And she got like the purse of her lips perfect.
Yeah, she really does. It was hard for me not to pick her. She looks immaculate.
Sharon Tate did the kiss like with her lips.
Yeah.
I got the vocabulary word correct, didn't I? Pursing of the lips, and that is Sharon Tate. Or the slight, opening of her mouth. My God, that's Sharon Tate. I can't believe it. So that's my first pick, Mike.
I'm going to go with a little offbeat one. Full cards on the table. I saw Mike's picks before I entered my own, so I tried to stay away from just picking the same one. I wanted to pick Margot Robbie. I didn't. I did end up, we do have one pick that we overlap with. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start with Tiffany Haddish from The Kitchen, which is that Melissa McCarthy movie we talked about in the last episode where it's the wives of all these gangsters and mobsters in New York City in the 70s.
That was fun.
It's a drama and comedy, and I figure, we just saw Melissa McCarthy take this blueprint this year with the role in Can You Ever Forgive Me, and leading to an Oscar nomination, so why not another comedic, very funny woman spreading her wings and becoming a drama, full-fledged drama actress as well.
Could happen, should happen, let's make it happen. Julianne Moore, The Woman in the Window.
Yeah.
It's kind of a safe pick for me. I wanted to pick an established name here. I don't know if she's going to wind up being a supporting actress. My guess is she will because Amy Adams is the lead in that film. So my guess is she's going to be a supporting actress, but I'm not 100% certain.
Yes, you are.
I just think if she is the woman in the window, or if she's on another window and the woman in the window is looking at her, I'm sure the long-range acting is going to come through the same way that Marina de Tavera did in all the master shots this past year. So we just saw that trend going forward. We're going to back up the camera. We're going to have Julianne Moore across the windows and the skyscrapers. Amy Adams looking out. here's your Oscar.
It's just Amy Adams staring at Julianne Moore, who's staring at Gary Oldman in another apartment across the way for 90 minutes. I would still see it. It'd probably still be nominated for an Oscar.
Probably.
It's a great pick. Julianne Moore, get her name back in the Oscars race. I took Jodie Turner Smith from Queen and Slim. She's the co-star alongside Daniel Kaluuya for this movie. Daniel Kaluuya hasn't been in a movie in the last two or three years that his co-stars haven't, like, risen to the occasion because of him with.
Sure.
Obviously, Get Out's the prime example in 2017, but even last year in Widows, that one scene where he's in the basketball gym and circling the two guys, those two guys that were rapping, kind of raised their games just by Kaluuya acting as butt off there. I wouldn't be surprised if Queen and Slim is kind of a surprise picture this year. And there's going, I mean, again, we're 100% accurate, so I don't need to guess about this. I know I'm right, but there's going to be somebody in some picture and some director and some actress that comes from out of nowhere on a couple of these categories, as it is the case usually every year. Why not? Jodie Turner Smith, Queen and Slim.
And the nominee we both share in common, which would give you your five for best supporting actress.
There you go.
So this is what's happening, is Lupita Nyong'o from Us, that comes out March 22nd. We will be reviewing it.
Man, call it recency bias, but she looks creepy as shit in these previews.
Crazy. She's playing multiple roles. I mean, that's got to be there. She might be a best lead actress at the end of
right,
the day.
Right, we don't know, but we do, because we're accurate here.
We're 100% accurate. And we think that maybe evil Lupita will be in this category, and good Lupita will be in the best actress category.
Maybe they just nominate her twice.
Maybe they
there
do.
There you go. I like that.
Us, yin and yang.
Move on to best supporting actor. Now it's another one. Mike and I share a name at the top of the list. I'm going to start at the bottom of the list. Sterling K. Brown, goddammit.
Let's go.
He's in the rhythm section. I have no idea what his role is in that movie. I know it's a Blake Lively piece. It's the one we talked about where the synopsis is a woman seeks revenge against the group of men that killed her family in a plane crash.
Sure.
That's the synopsis on IMDb. Sterling K. Brown! Get him! It's time!
How many great supporting roles does this man have to take before somebody nominates him?
Needs to break out! Come on!
Is it just like, are they biased against Emmy-winning actors? Like, all right, you're winning Emmys. You don't. That's your Emmy phase.
Right.
This man's got to start to break through. I mean, he was great in Black Panther. Everything he does
is
awesome.
He's great in everything!
He's great in Hotel Artemis, for Christ's sake, and that movie's not that good.
Let's go!
Let's go, exactly. I'm going to say Timothy Chalamet in Little Women.
I almost put him too.
I think people will go off of the snub this past year and say, beautiful boy, he was pretty great. And now he's in this awesome cast, and he's probably going to shine with Greta Gerwig once again. Last year, she directed him in Lady Bird. A few scenes he was in, he was great. I think he's got a meatier role this time. And I think Little Women is one of the safer bets this Oscar season.
It's coming out Christmas time. It's going to have a chance to kind of wait and be one of the last pictures we see at large for Oscar season. So we're talking about recency bias now with Lupita Nyong'o. That's going to be the most recent picture that Academy members can vote on next year. So I think that's probably a safe bet there. I also went with Woman in the Window here. I went with Gary Oldman, who's in a couple things this year. And we have a lot of heavy hitters that are in a couple different pictures this year. This could be a real star-studded Oscars affair. And I know it's kind of boring going chalk all the way and just picking A-listers and headliners, but there are so many this year.
Joe Wright's reputation speaks for itself. When he makes a movie, it typically gets nominated, and he's the director of The Woman in the Window. You got this all-star cast with Oldman, with Julianne Moore, and of course with Amy Adams leading the way. That looks like a can't-miss, correct?
Yeah.
Even though we said some can't-misses last year, that turned out to be 100% accurate.
Right, exactly.
I forget myself.
Never been wrong.
My second pick is Al Pacino from the, that's a terrible impression.
Thank you.
From the Irish
Yes.
Yeah, you really have to pause and then just say,
hooah!
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 Hooah! And be older, I guess, and smoke more cigars. But right now, Al Pacino in The Irishman is playing the big name real life character in Help Me, Please Stop Me From Talking. What's his name? He
Hoffa.
Died. Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah.
Jimmy Hoffa.
I also didn't realize this is Pacino's first Scorsese movie.
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes. I should have corrected you last episode, but I'm a jerk. I forgot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
The one we both share, again, at the top of the list.
And this makes five.
We're very excited for Shia LaBeouf playing his father in Honey Boy, and he's not supposed to be the main character, for somehow it's going to be Shia LaBeouf playing the father to Lucas Hedges. I don't know. That's going to be a heavy-duty work on the makeup department there. You're asking a lot of them. But he's already getting rave reviews from people that have seen this movie. It's, again, Hollywood loves themselves a redemption story. If he could just stay out of trouble and play the straight and narrow, maybe this leads to an Academy Award. Only in this case, it definitely will, because we're 100% accurate.
It definitely will, yeah. But I do think this is a riskier pick.
And I agree.
I'm a little afraid of it because, A... yeah, the Sundance buzz should be overwhelming at this
right.
point, and it's not necessarily Fair overwhelming.
Point.
It's nice, but it's not insane. And B, he's making a redemption story about himself, and if it was anybody else making the story about him and he was playing, kind of channeling his own background, maybe that would work better, but this is him writing, directing, acting in a movie about himself, trying to teach people to feel sorry for him. It could work, it could not.
It's a proxy.
I don't know.
It's not like the character's name in the movie is Shia LaBeouf. It's somebody else, so he does get to take that kind of distant third-person view of it.
Okay.
Early 100% on Rotten Tomatoes on 39 critic scores. That means something that the 40 critics have gotten their hands on it. Early 75% audience score as well. So it's getting positive reviews right now. I don't know about overwhelming. That's probably a good point, but we'll see what happens.
We'll see. Best lead actress, Mike. I wanted to mention a couple that we're not going to pick necessarily. Annette Bening in The Report, Awkwafina in The Farewell, and Emma Thompson in Late Night. I'm sorry, one more. And Alfre Woodard in Clemency. Those four are getting good buzz at Sundance.
Yes.
And I think they might carry through. We'll have to see those movies in the next few months. And I think neither of us have at the moment. We don't know if she's lead or supporting. Probably would have been a safe bet to pick Meryl Streep somewhere.
I almost put her in the supporting actress category for Little Women, but I didn't based on who I picked for the lead actress category here.
She is in The Laundromat as well for Steven Soderbergh.
Yes.
Soderbergh. I don't know how you pronounce.
Soderbergh.
Soderbergh.
Yeah.
Soderbergh.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Cancel Steven Soderbergh.
Cancel Steven Soderbergh.
I think it's Soderbergh.
Okay, so we have... we have none in common here.
No, so we're going to expand the Academy, obviously. We'll expand the category to six nominees this year.
Six nominees,
first time ever.
We will be 100% right because one of mine will probably get bumped till next year when it'll be nominated.
Oh, that's a good point.
2021 Oscars.
That's a good point. So here are your five nominees for the 2020 lead acting category and one for 2021.
Right. Judges say it's okay. All right. I'm going to say Amy Adams, The Woman in the Window. I'm going to say she's going to be nominated once again. I'm not picking her to win, but we'll see.
Does anyone have more audience support right now this second than Amy Adams for this category?
She's got film Twitter support. Let's just say that much. I don't know if she's got the audience support. The Academy certainly hasn't picked her name yet.
No, so not yet. Not yet. Maybe this will be the year. One of my picks is Natalie Portman from Lucy in the Sky. Two reasons. One, Natalie Portman's leading like a sci-fi type movie. And she's always really good playing fish out of water type characters, or characters slowly losing their mind. As we saw, she won the Oscar for Black Swan in such a role. We saw her in Annihilation. She was great in such a role.
She's really good in Vox Lux, by the way. But
I still haven't seen it. And the other reason I'm very high on this performance and picking it and so sure it's going to do well is because it enabled me to sing Blink-182 last episode. And that's what I want out of life.
Blink-182's in the soundtrack?
No. It's just that she reminded...
There's
this
lyric?
This plot reminded me of a Blink-182 song. I sang Asthenia. Obviously, it left an indelible impression on you.
Before,
you probably blocked it from the history of your mind.
Before we started this podcast,
yeah.
Were you in a coma since 2004? This isn't a serious question.
I don't see how that's any of your business.
Amnesia since 2004? Are you the next born...
That's B-O-U-R-N-E for those listening, yes.
I would believe it right now with all these references. My next nominee is Cynthia Erivo. She's playing Harriet Tubman in the movie Harriet. I'm just looking at those stills.
It's a great pick. It's a great pick by you. I knew you were going to pick it. I wanted to pick it. But Clayton Davis also turned us onto it.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured having both of us copy the man's work probably wouldn't look good for us. No, I think it's a great pick. I think of anyone, I think that's probably the safest nominee, dare I say, mm-hmm. along with Amy Adams right now at this point in time.
I think she is looking very sad in those stills, like I said, but also her work this past year was great. I mean, she is the standout performance in Bad Times at the El Royale. Yeah. I loved her in that. And then she saved the movie Widows.
Yeah, she did. She was awesome in Widows. The performances were great all around in Widows, but you know our history on that. And 2018 is a year we'll never speak of again. My second pick, my number two pick, somebody from Fair and Balanced, and like right. I just said in the opening, is going to come forward. And Charlize Theron has top billing both on IMDb and Wikipedia. I think she's going to be the star. She's playing. The only red flag for me is that she's portraying Megyn Kelly. And Megyn Kelly isn't really a sympathetic figure in the zeitgeist right now. If you go by her interactions with NBC and how that ended kind of badly for all parties involved. But obviously, if this is a retelling of what actually happened, it's based on firsthand accounts, as it seems to be, that could change on a dime, too. That could all be done in a Diane Sawyer 2020 interview, and we could be right back to square one where Megyn Kelly was coming out of her contract with Fox. I think Charlize Theron's kind of been away from the Oscars picture for a while.
Right.
It's time for her to kind of let everyone know what she's capable of and come back in. And this really heavily women-focused, Me Too type of picture could be a big deal.
I wonder if it's a little too close based on recent events, but Vice was very close as well, and it got a ton of nominations this past year. My last nominee is Kate Blanchett from Lucy and Desi. If Aaron Sorkin gets it done in time, then this, like Kate Blanchett playing Lucille Ball,
I think that's
going to crush, right?
Absolutely,
but
no question.
To make this 100% accurate and to be the omens and the oracles that we are, it's going to be a 2021 Oscar role and probably an Oscar win, I will say.
Yeah, no,
I do
fair.
Have the confidence
enough
to say that.
That's
yes.
fair. That's also absolutely true. I think that's just a credit to us, quite frankly, not only our accuracy, but how far into the future we look. And we you're welcome, is basically what I'm trying to say
here.
You're welcome. In all seriousness, I'm very excited to see Kate Blanchett as Lucille Ball whenever that picture does come, especially with a Sorkin script. My God, but
perfect.
Looking forward to also Saoirse Ronan. If I had to guess and prognosticate right now, she is where I would put my early money. We've seen what Greta Gerwig can do with her. We've seen how well she acts in a Greta Gerwig picture. Little Woman is going to be this huge feministic moment at the end of the year, Christmas time. Everyone's going to be feeling really well. We're going to be in the throes of the Oscar season. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's finally her time to break through there.
Saoirse Ronan had three excellent performances this past year in The Seagull, in On Chesil Beach or Chesil Beach. I saw the goddamn movie and I still don't know how to pronounce it.
Mm.
And Mary Queen of Scots. I thought all three performances were crazy good and diverse, and bottom line is she is now with Greta Gerwig again.
Yeah,
and that movie has the main December release right there for crunch
time.
Big money maker, popular film, also an Oscar film. Meryl Streep is in the cast. Timothy Chalamet is back with Saoirse Ronan.
So excited.
If that movie misses, we're dumb.
Yeah, no, that's fair, and it's, you know, it's a little silly to say, but there's so much, especially if you take the last couple award season years just in total going for this movie. This is like the perfect Oscars fodder movie that anyone could want. So, yeah, I agree.
So I'll piggyback on your pick there. And if I have to pick a third, I would honestly pick Saoirse Ronan.
I think it's her time, too. Although it's tough to say it's her time when Glenn Close just got upset and Amy Adams is not going to win again. So we'll see.
We just like an Oscar pundit on the red carpet. We could just, it's her time. Why is she going to win, Jackie?
It's just her time.
It's just her time. Oh, God, we got a little sick of that.
Yes.
Anyway.
Best lead actor.
Tom Hanks, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. I think we're both sharing.
This will not surprise you to hear we both had him listed. It's his portrayal as Mr. Rogers, the Marielle Heller movie, himself coming off of being, you know, Tom Hanks and everything, herself coming off of last year's Can You Ever Forgive Me, the success that had at the end of award season, especially the momentum that had. Hopefully she carries that forward, and hopefully he's there come award season next year.
Now, what's going to make this 100% accurate, our next duos here, is that Leonardo DiCaprio, is that how you pronounce it, is going to be in the best supporting category, is my guess, because they're all going to be supporting. It's an ensemble. I don't know. But bottom line is, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is going to have somebody nominated from that. My early guess right now, it'll be Leo because he's got the best sneer in the photo.
Yeah, one of the two hyper good looking white guys is going to be making this category is basically what we're saying.
I don't know who's the stuntman and who's the actor. I think the actor has a few more things to play.
So that could be Brad Pitt.
If Leo's the actor with the turtleneck that screams action star to me from the late 60s, then I'm guessing he's going to have a little bit more to play, so he'll get the nod. Mike, your second pick?
My number two is Robert Pattinson. High Life already came out, the Claire Denis movie. It's a... God damn it, I already saw a headline that says how it transcends the science fiction genre, which isn't a real thing, but nonetheless, it's getting good reviews. I've also seen it getting kind of polarizing reviews. I think that's kind of a sweet spot for the Academy right now. You don't want to take something that's overly loved by one section or the other. We saw that, and we saw how when you do that, it doesn't really get you anywhere with Vice, for example.
Now, are we going to be guessing that every sci-fi film that comes out this spring was that, you know, fabled movie that had the terrible screening that was a total mess? And is this the one that was a total mess?
That's a good point. It could be. And if what Mike's referencing there is last episode, there was, I clued in to something happened with a sci-fi movie that was supposed to have a screening it got canceled at the last second. And the big rumor online is that it was Ad Astra, though obviously the reporters there couldn't tell what it was.
Lucy in the Sky? Is it Gemini Man? Is it High Life? I mean, High Life is played at some film
festivals. High Life's been out. I don't think it's High Life.
It's probably not High Life.
And High Life has good grades on the sites already.
Just trying to troll your pick.
Yeah. Don't do that.
I think a nominee that's getting a lot of buzz right now, or a previous nominee that is Daniel Kaluuya in Queen and Slim.
I hope so, man. I really hope so.
I think it could be his year because it's his time.
It is his time. It's just his time. Just and his time. We're 100% right, so you can't argue with us. Seriously, I have very high hopes for a movie I didn't know about like 72 hours ago.
Right.
The ones that's made its most headway in my mind about being excited for 2019 is probably Queen and Slim. And I'm going to talk more about that as we get down these categories for a bit of a tease. But Daniel Kaluuya, I think he might be one of the more underrated actors in Hollywood right now, which is a weird thing to say for a relatively new headliner that's already been nominated.
He only picks good stuff, though. Does he pick always great stuff? Maybe not, but it's always good stuff. The Black Mirrors. I mean, you look at his IMDb, good stuff.
Fair.
One thing after the other.
Absolutely fair. Love that guy. Taron Egerton. I'm not overly excited for Rocketman. This is me buying into your hype that you've laid out.
I saw like two featurettes where he was actually singing, and they did like a 5-minute thing on YouTube where Elton John and everybody's gushing over it, and then you actually see him doing all of the interviews out there in the promotional tour where he is actually singing for a ton of people, and you're just like dropping your jaw. So it's possible.
So there's a question that comes with that, obviously, is that are we going to have fatigue? Are we going to have singer biopic fatigue after what just happened with Bohemian Rhapsody, Rami Malek, for the past 6 months? But if Taron Egerton, if enough is made about him seriously performing these Elton John songs, and if his performances are what you have been hyping them up to be, yeah, there's a good chance that we could see him there. It's got a primetime release date. It's also interesting. This is probably another biopic, musical biopic that's going to make a ton of money. It's got that May 31st release date, Memorial Day type release date over the summer. Going to be a huge blockbuster. We're picking a lot of mainstream hits that seem like they're going to be legitimate Oscar contenders are in... purposes of this episode will definitely be because we're 100% accurate.
100%.
But it also seems like this could be a unique year in that a lot of popular films have the crossover to being considered heavy hitters for the Oscars as well, which kind of just happened.
And it could happen once more because the Academy understands that the Oscars need to become even more popular to get better ratings. They're probably going to attribute after such a cluster, you know what, award season buildup. The only thing that saved their ratings at the end of the day was, all right, maybe just an air of mystery that might, you know, a few people might have tuned in for that reason. But really, bottom line is more popular films in the mix.
Which is going to be very interesting to see what happens with that popular film category that they insisted at last check is going to come back this year. So we'll see.
Right, because all their theories on why the Oscars ratings were going down to long, obscure films, et cetera, et cetera. The only one that really changed at the end of the day was popular films getting voted in.
Right. It's a good point.
I wanted to mention a few other contenders in this category, like I did with Best Actress. Adam Driver, he's getting a lot of buzz this year for all of his roles.
Yeah.
The Report stands out to me from Sundance. Robert De Niro seems to be one of the main characters in The Irishman. None of us really know a whole lot about that. Brad Pitt can wind up in the supporting category in this one for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Hearing rave reviews for Ansel Elgort from Baby Driver. He is going to be in The Goldfinch. Of course, Christian Bale. He is no stranger to the Oscar nominee selection process. Ford versus Ferrari. We have Willem Dafoe in the what's probably a horror movie in The Lighthouse.
I'm just going to think that's The Fog until I'm proven otherwise.
He's with Robert Pattinson. I think one of them plays the older character, and then the other plays the younger character. I hope Robert Pattinson is practicing his scary face. Because that's the only face Willem Dafoe makes. We love Willem Dafoe.
Yes.
He's our buddy. Gary Oldman from The Laundromat. And Dev Patel, Mike.
We go way back, yeah.
Dev Patel is getting a lot of buzz from, I don't know if it's the personal history of David Copperfield or the history of David Copperfield, but there's a David Copperfield, Charles Dickens adaptation. I'm pronounced none of those words correctly, but it's an Armando Iannucci film.
So bizarre.
And he's getting crazy buzz for it.
So bizarre. Armando Iannucci doing a Charles Dickens, David Copperfield movie. Do people realize, speaking again about A-listers and mainstream talent and all that, this Best Actor race this year, now it's an abundance of white people, I'm going to warn you, but this Best Actor race has the chance to be Leo, Gary Oldman, Christian Bale, Robert De Niro, and Tom Hanks. They're all coming out with pictures this year. That's a big fucking deal.
Big names. Yeah. We said it last year. It looked like a Mount Rushmore plus Chalamet.
Right, exactly.
Gonna get nominated. And this year it might just be a Mount Rushmore plus another face painted on or carved into the Mount Rushmore. So, yeah, it could be. Mike, Best Director. And what's really exciting about the last episode we did is that we had a lot of films led by female filmmakers that seem awesome.
I have three picks.
Yeah.
All three are women.
And I would agree with that. And I think we're going to see a couple female nominees this year.
Sure hope so. And look, we talked about it's 2018, a mulligan, blah, blah, blah. You're right. There seems to be a much wider selection of women-helmed pictures this year. Thankfully, it's still not nearly enough. I don't think we should pat Hollywood on the back too hard. And we also will see what kind of money goes into the marketing of these movies and how many actually go through and don't get pulled and et cetera, et cetera. But it's a good step forward.
Dee Reese has made one good movie after the next. Of course, Greta Gerwig knocked it out of the park last year. Greta Gerwig's my first pick for Little Women. Again, I'm heavy on this movie.
You really are. Yeah, you're high on it.
I just think, she's been there, done that with the Oscar nom, and why not? Why not again?
It's nice to see, as much as we thought this year and going into 2018 was going to be a repeat of 16, we had Chazelle making a movie, Barry Jenkins making a movie, 19 shaping up could be a repeat of 17, and we could see the newcomers, quote-unquote newcomers in 17, the Jordan Peeles, the Greta Gerwigs, taking their next step forward and seeing what they can do. And Greta Gerwig, it seems like that movie is going to have some money behind it, right?
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Absolutely.
So hopefully.
It's going to make money, too.
Yeah. Dee Reese is one, you already hit on her, but she's one of my picks as well. The Last Thing He Wanted, that's Anne Hathaway. It's not listed as a biopic on anything I saw, but that sounds like a biopic movie. I don't know if it is or not, but it's Dee Reese helming both Anne Hathaway and Ben Affleck about a government worker who I think becomes a gun runner or a drug runner or something. It looks like an Anne Hathaway featuring role.
Nice.
So it looks like it'll be a woman director handling a woman protagonist-led film, which is awesome to see. I can't wait for that.
Quentin Tarantino, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I do think this is a culmination piece of his career. I think he's going to get nominated at the end of the day.
I mean, him, Scorsese, those guys are obviously there.
I'm worried about Scorsese's The Irishman. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's great. I hope that it's one of his best of his career. I'm worried about it for so many reasons. Got delayed, over budget. Netflix might have humored him and indulged him too much by just giving him everything that he wanted.
Yeah.
The last time he had a big budget with Hugo, to me, that was one of his worst movies in a while. I did not enjoy Hugo that much.
You're laying out a lot of good points. I haven't seen that much skepticism about it, obviously. I think everyone's just kind of at this point blinded by the excitement that it's actually got a 2019 release. We're actually in the year where we can see or are supposed to see a Martin Scorsese picture with Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, Al Pacino, Harvey Keitel, et cetera, et cetera. Jesse Plemons also, don't forget him,
don't
attached
forget
to
Fat
it.
Damon, my buddy.
I'm pinning my hopes and dreams, as much as you are for Little Woman, I'm pinning a lot of my awards hopes to Queen and Slim. Melina Matsoukas, I think she's going to make it for Best Director, and by I think I mean 100% no, and I'm going to be right about this. I'm just so convinced about something about that movie, along whereas Fair and Balanced is going to be a great Me Too discussion, but obviously have a liberal bias and be slanted against the Fox News Network, yes, et cetera, et cetera. I think something that's as contemporary and as relatable today as a story about a black couple being harassed by what seems like white cops or white authority figures, as Queen and Slim portrays and portends to be, if you read its description. That just seems so relatable and so of the moment, and you add to it the fact that it's got a couple of such big names lately attached to it.
Right.
I could see it definitely being headed for awards gold.
And I was tempted to pick Bokeem Woodbine.
Were you? There
well
you go.
Today, but yeah, for supporting actor. But I couldn't quite do it, but maybe. Yeah, I'm 100% accurate, so I might get like something that trickles off my brain,
yeah,
that I give you as an aside might come true as well.
And by might, we mean well.
Because I'm so accurate.
Yeah, exactly.
My last pick is a reluctant one, but he seems to always get nominated. I'm picking Tom Hooper for Cats. And I don't want to do this, but
yeah,
I'm doing this.
I don't want you to do it either, but I understand.
You know, I'm 100% accurate,
yeah,
and I have to
pick
one.
It's your
one
gift. It is your curse.
It's my curse.
Right. I understand it. I get it. I'm picking Claire Denis, High Life. Again, we've talked about it. Same reasons I think Robert Pattinson's going to be there. It's getting great marks right now. It's the one I'm least confident in, which is a weird thing to say because I have a Queen and Slim picture in there. But Queen and Slim at least has the benefit of being an October release.
Mm-hmm.
Anything released this early, and that's I love Lupita Nyong'o for us, but it's also like a March picture. It's going to need that sustained momentum. High Life, you could say the same thing, whether you're talking about Claire Denis's chances or Robert Pattinson's.
Yeah, it's got to be great. It can't just be
right.
Very, very, very good.
Exactly.
It's got to be great to be released this early and to hold that momentum. And under all the scrutiny that comes with it,
mm-hmm,
so who knows? Joe Wright, Jordan Peele, Ari Aster, like we said, Scorsese, Soderbergh, Danny Boyle, they're in the mix as well.
Danny Boyle's an interesting one. That Yesterday picture really baffles me.
That's a strange one, isn't
really
it?
Really baffles me, yeah.
Iannucci, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on and on. Go back to our last episode if you haven't checked that one out yet, because there's a lot of auteurs, a lot of great filmmakers making movies this year.
Yeah, let's move on to Best Picture here, something we didn't cover last year because, you know, we're dumb. we're going to pick, I guess, five each. Now, here's my problem with picking five, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Three of them, for me, are big budget blockbusters.
Okay. That's cool.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but it seemed, there's buzz about some of these movies already. Let's start with the obvious ones, both The Irishman and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. We both have those, right?
We both have those, and I think they're the safer bets at the moment.
Right.
Even though I'm a little, reluctant to pick The Irishman, I'm ominously worried about it.
Comes out and it's like a Scorsese 7.
Yeah.
After all the hype, it's got to land some kind of nomination, doesn't it? Even if it's not Best Picture, it's got to be recognized somewhere.
We just came out of a year where the disappointment factor of the second hour of A Star Is Born reverberated to the point where a November release...
October, yeah.
October release, just by the start of award season, that was losing everything. Mm-hmm. I wonder if this movie comes out...
But it was still nominated.
Yeah, if The Irishman comes out, will we, and everything's pushed up, will we just, like, forego some of the honeymoon period and then it just gets crushed?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, does that all happen faster in today's world? And yet, I still pick it. I'm 100% accurate. It's there.
Right, I agree.
So I agree with you, too.
All right. I have The Woman in the Window up there, and I see you do as well.
I think Joe Wright is a great filmmaker.
I do too.
Amy Adams, Gary Oldman. I said it before. Julianne Moore. How can that miss? It's based on a hugely popular novel, which I haven't read, but I know is based on Rear Window a little bit.
Well, that's how it could miss in my mind. If people go in expecting to see Rear Window or expecting to see a Hitchcock take, And it's not because it's not Hitchcock's Rear Window. It's based on a different book entirely.
Yeah, the director of The Help directed Emily Blunt in The Girl on the Train, which missed.
Exactly. That's a great, great
point.
So, yeah.
Who knows? It definitely could miss. But, you know, Gone Girl was a couple years back, and that hit. And even though it didn't get as many Oscar noms as we wanted, that was a hell of a film. Little Women, I think, is going to be nominated at the end of the
day. Yeah, you're very high on that. And I have Queen and Slim. So the two movies that we kind of are attaching ourselves to, we both end up putting in the Best Picture conversation there. So that kind of makes a lot of sense.
Finally, I have Cats. Again, that's a reluctant pick, and I'm going to regret it. I really hope
Cats doesn't make it. I'm just so... I don't know why I have that disdain for it.
I've never seen Cats in any way, shape, or form.
Do you feel like you're missing out?
I don't know. I just know the memory song. I seen Funny People, and I seen the little girl in Funny People, an Apatow daughter, sing the Cats song. That is my that is the extent of my experience with Cats, and it's a beautiful song. Idris Elba, Judi Dench.
Have you seen Idris Elba, and have you seen A Pair of Whiskers?
Rebel Wilson is in it. I mean, Tom Hooper directing at King's Speech. He's been there before.
And he's done Les Mis. He's already done an Oscar-nominated musical. Yeah, all right. I have The Report, but I also have The Goldfinch. I think The Goldfinch is tailor-made for Oscars season. Port may be a little less so, maybe have more independent vibe, but we seem to always get like one government expose-type movie per year now.
Wait, the Academy likes to make political
Yeah, it'll be the one nominated with no chance to win, but it'll be there just as a friendly reminder. So it's you could say that. You could say The Report. You could say Fox and Friends. You could say a billion different ones that are kind of hitting on relevant news. But Goldfinch is the one that seems to be, again, it's going to be a blockbuster by all accounts, but it seems to be tailor-made for an awards movie.
I was tempted to pick Mariel Heller in both the director category for A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood and the picture category.
Same.
I just don't know how the biopic about the movie that was just done as a documentary does the year after the documentary came out. And I know Man on Wire was a big miss from Robert Zemeckis with Joseph Gordon-Levitt walking between buildings there on a tightrope. I don't know.
Also, to piggyback on that point, usually best director, the director is the star of the film. Spike Lee was like the star of BlacKkKlansman this year. Alfonso Cuarón, who won it, obviously the star. If that movie's got a star, it's probably going to be Tom Hanks, less Mariel Heller, right? As much as Mariel Heller is going to have a lot to do with it, clearly.
I think she earned the respect of a lot of people this year. Definitely the Writers Guild.
Yeah.
You know, with the, how
I don't
that
argue.
Movie,
I don't argue that.
So she might have made the long, slow climb. We might be neglecting her in this process, and that might be to our detriment, because Mike, we lied to our audience this entire time just about a sheer bravado, because these are not 100% accurate.
I picked a winner for best director last year that didn't make a movie in 2018. Yeah, so here are our picks that were this time last year, looking into film year 2018. Again, for some reason we didn't pick picture. I don't know why we did that or did not do that. Maybe we thought we were going to embarrass ourselves enough, but this year we have less shame because 2018 proved that nobody knows anything. So here were our picks last year. We'll start with director first at the bottom of the list there, Michael. Ironically,
yeah,
you picked
Adam McKay.
Maybe our worst category overall in that I picked Julie Taymor, who did not, in fact, have a picture in 2018. I don't know why I picked her or what she was supposed to do.
I don't remember, but I...
And you!
I was actually right in this category, but that's as right as I'll get. Because you actually were right in two out of the five categories, which is impressive. Because in Best Actress, you picked Lady Gaga.
I did. Well, no, that's supporting. Supporting actress, I picked Lady Gaga.
You're still right, though.
No. Not even close, really. I picked Lady Gaga for supporting. I thought there would be that fervor to kind of get her to EGOT. I also thought the studio wouldn't be stupid enough to put her in a lead actress category when it seemed so loaded back in the early days of 2018.
That would have been a hard sell, though, because she was
seeing
a lead actress.
Out, yeah.
She
yeah.
was a lead actress. That would have been ridiculous.
Yeah.
Even though the monsters are capable of anything, and they could have sold it.
I just thought it would have been an easy path to her to get a victory, right? That's an easy Oscar
right
there.
If she's in the best supporting actress category this past year,
Viola Davis broke the rules with Fences, right?
True.
Supporting actress means nothing, really.
True, but she can't have the Hammer song and every act. Okay.
Fine.
It would have been a travesty.
Yeah, you're right.
And we would have screamed about it. I had Margot Robbie from Mary Queen of Scots, and I was very wrong.
I stand by that being a fine pick. If you're going to tell me on paper you're going to have a period piece with Saoirse Ronan and Margot Robbie in a battle up for power.
She got a SAG nom. I mean, it wasn't like I was true. Thoroughly it's off, true. But she did get nominations throughout award season. She just didn't get the Oscar at the end of the day. You picked Michael B. Jordan in Best Supporting Actor.
I did, and I should have known better because by the time we did this episode last year, we had already seen Black Panther.
Right.
And he didn't really have that kind of momentum to sustain that pick. You were much closer, though, picking Timothy Chalamet.
Timothy Chalamet was nominated most of the way through award season, but it didn't come through at the end of the day, which is a shock to us all because Sam Rockwell's, you know, SNL sketch of George W. took it at the end of the day.
Chalamet should have been nominated. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. We both had the same lead actress pick.
Viola Davis from Widows, and she was great in that, and she got a BAFTA nom. Again, we weren't that far off.
I will never forgive Steve McQueen for misleading me and getting my hopes up and dashing them so
that
much.
That movie isn't so bad, but it's not great, and I think that's why we're upset.
Do you have any Tupperware I could borrow?
That was funny. That really was funny, and we did laugh. I've laughed heartily about that scene in recent weeks because just thinking about it. It's almost like the Team America. Everybody needs a montage. Carrying Tupperware in a backpack.
For one scene. For one 20-second scene, and then hard cut.
Hard cut to the heist.
Yeah, and Best Actor was the last category we picked. Now, ironically, you picked Adam McKay for Vice. I picked Christian Bale because I thought it was a slam dunk.
Yeah, you nailed
that. He was right
there
at the end of the year, but it didn't come to fruition.
And you hyped me up
into... I so did. I feel bad about this.
This being the year of... last year being the year of Steve Carell
yeah.
for Beautiful Boy. Now, was he in my top five? He might have been close to it at the end of the day. He didn't get nominated at all throughout award season.
Here's what I'll take credit for, because I feel bad about forcing you to pick Carell. I did, in a bit of a way, save you from picking him for Marwin.
Right.
If you go back and listen to last year's episode about this. So you did end up picking the better Carell performance at the end of the day.
Much more respectable.
Yes.
I picked Steve Carell from The Women of Marwin, which was the title at the time.
Which was a better title, by the way.
Which was the better title. I would have been aggravated right now. But at least that these are respectable picks. I mean, those are, at the end of the day, those are five good performances.
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, yes, we were wrong because it's impossible to be right in doing something like this. But I think that's kind of clues you into how we're approaching this. We kind of do look at the year holistically and actually put a little forethought instead of just blindly being a monkey throwing out a dartboard here. But we are really, really interested to see how this year plays out. So much in the spirit of last year, to put the official cherry and icing or whatever goes on top of your sundaes, I'm fine.
Our 0% accurate picks for the winners.
Let's go through the seven categories we just laid out and let's pick one winner from each of those categories so we can mock ourselves mercilessly this time next year in 2020. We'll start at the top. Best animated feature, my gun to your head, who's your winner?
Frozen 2.
I'm going to pick Toy Story 4. Best supporting actress, Michael.
Oh, it's so hard. I'm going to say Margot Robbie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
God, she does look like Sharon Tate. It's uncanny. Lupita Nyong'o, I'm sticking with it. I'm sorry, Jodie Turner-Smith. I really want to pick you in an upset to seem smart. Best supporting actor.
Can I pick one of yours?
Yeah, go for it, man.
I'm not going to stray that far from my former bravado. I'm going to take Timothy Chalamet in Little Women.
Really smart.
I don't think it's smart.
That's really smart.
He's gonna have like a bit part where he just kisses a girl and runs away, and that's his whole movie.
Well, that's the risk. That's the risk we're running in all these. Like, some of these people are in these movies just to be killed off in the first 20 minutes.
No.
I'm gonna go with Gary Oldman, Woman in the Window. I think it'd be fun to have some of the long-standing winners win the supporting category.
Then he'll direct a movie the next year and win for Best Director.
Exactly. And then he'll get a Grammy, Tony, Emmy, EGOT, Oldman. Best Lead Actress, Michael.
This one is tricky. I am going to go with Clayton Davis at the moment. I'm going to say Cynthia Erivo for Harriet. She's going to blow it out of the water.
Good pick! I'm sticking with Saoirse. Saoirse, Greta Gerwig, teaming up. They came so close the other year. I believe they finished number two 2 years ago. They're going to do it this time. Saoirse Ronan, Little Woman, my pick. Lead actor. You want to go? I think we have the same one.
It is tougher than it looks. I want to take Kaluuya, but I'm...
So do I!
I'm going to have to take Tom Hanks.
So am I! God damn it!
He's Fred Rogers.
Well, we had Viola Davis last year, so...
Instead of getting fat, he got skinny. And he reversed the trend. That's enough of a change for Hollywood to say, yes. Same, but different. Yes. Thank you.
Director. I'll go first. I'm going to fucking do it. Melina Matsoukas. Queen and Slim, let's do it. Let's ride that wave.
You sorry, love yourself that
sorry,
premise.
Sorry, D-Reese. With apologies to D-Reese. Let's go.
I don't know. I'm going to go with Quentin Tarantino.
You don't think he's pissed off enough people in the Academy?
He's pissed off a lot of people, so it's a risky pick. I'm going to say Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is going to be that culminating picture this year. It's going to win a lot of stuff, and we're going to get one of those. Maybe not sweepers, but we're going to get something that wins four or five big ones.
What if Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is as bad as you fear The Irishman will be?
I'm really upset. But everything looks great. The stills look great.
Just Brad Pitt and Leo masturbating in the corner for 2 hours while Margot Robbie tries to learn Mandarin on screen.
And that's best picture.
Quentin Tarantino has done it again, pushing the boundaries of filmmaking.
I'm a big fan of Tarantino. I know he's a tough guy to like out there. He's nutcase, but...
Well, is this... I mean, are you picking it for best picture?
I am.
Oh, my God.
So now, who's yours? It's tough.
It's really tough.
Really, really tough. And it's probably going to be something else. Whatever we pick.
I don't want to pick the same one as you, but it's so obviously the leader in the clubhouse right now.
Early leader, and I don't think we're going out on a limb.
And Tarantino's overdue to have a Best Picture breakthrough. Probably should have had it for Django. Fuck me.
Going back to Hollywood, loving movies about Hollywood.
All right. Yeah, let's do it. Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Edging out The Woman in the Window.
Okay,
Joe Wright. Which I really like. I think Joe Wright's got a great chance to do some noise this year.
I don't know if I should read the book before we see the movie or should read the book after we see the movie. What would be your recommendation?
Here's my recommendation. One of us should read the book. And I don't read. So. Okay,
so I'll do it. It's like on the library audiobook apps right now. So It's not like I have to buy it on Audible.
Listen,
you can probably just get it for free on the library.
I got this Celtics franchise in 2K19, all right? We want to know your thoughts on all these picks. And obviously, tell us what you are looking forward to most in the film year 2019. Maybe we'll put up a poll or ask you guys to explain it. And we'll talk about it on MMO Weekly coming up. We'll see how we handle that. Don't forget, speaking of MMO Weekly, we have our 6 Degrees of MMO that'll be out on Twitter if it's not already. We're connecting Florence Pugh to Kendrick Lamar, as Mike just had to remind me because I did not remember at all.
Yeah, we'll have fun with that on MMO Weekly. And we got a full schedule next week. We got Captain Marvel. We have Fighting With My Family. And we got another fun episode that we're joshing around with that we can get done. And it could be a preview for a big movie coming out at the end of next week that rhymes with Schmapton Schmarvel.
Thank you for that. Cancel Kevin Feige. There's that tease. There's also the tease that we may actually have a website the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
We're not going to know what to do with it, but it'll be there.
Do I type something in now? Do I hit post? What do I do?
Mike, final words of wisdom here for our 2019 100% accurate year in preview picks.
The wisdom is we had a moment of self-doubt. You know, about 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, whatever that was. These are 100% accurate.
No question.
And you will see our greatness this time next year.
We're going to nail it this time.
We're going to nail it.
They're going to make this year our something. That's, I don't know. What do successful people say?
Shrimp cocktail?
Yeah, no, we're going to make this year our shrimp cocktail is what we're going to do.
We suck at improv.
Yeah, let's do a comedy show. Guys, reality sucks. Come watch movies with us whenever that happens. Get yourself to the starting line for 2019 because that first OSP is going to be here in a matter of days.
Mike, we get to go to the movies again.
Joy. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Do I look like my mother?
Special.